Have you ever been thirsty? I mean thirsty. I mean so thirsty that just opening the bottle is a relief before it even gets to your mouth. You ever been thirsty? Like someone in the desert? Like someone in the wilderness or wandering in the woods who doesn't have provision? And they'll die unless they get a drink of water. They're not going to be able to make it without the water to give them life-sustaining strength. We can't survive without water, can we? If I went to the desert and I poured this water out on the ground, what would happen? Yeah, even the ground will soak it up. This cracked and dried ground with no living thing that can grow without water. Even the cactus needs water every once in a while. But we certainly do need water. I remember when I was wandering in this lost world with seemingly no hope. It's kind of like that. It was kind of like that. But it was spiritual for me. I had no provision for my eternal soul, alive and in search of something to satisfy my thirsty soul. I was alive, but I was out there wandering around, seeking something that I didn't have within my soul. Nothing would fill it. Nothing would satisfy it. I would search. Would it be this? Would it be this person? Would it be that? Would it be this job, or would it be that? Would it be this class, or would it be that friend? Never enough. Never enough. If I work as hard as I could possibly work, getting as much money as I could possibly get, it would never touch that spot in my soul that was so thirsty, spiritually. Psalms 42, 1 through 2. Psalms 42, 1 through 2 says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? When can I be in his presence? I so long to be in his presence. Don't you? Don't you love to feel the presence of the living God? Don't you love to be in his presence? Don't you thirst? And isn't there the question of where is God? Why is he not showing up? Why is he not doing this? Why is he not doing that? Why are our altars barren? Where are the people? Why? Where? And we blame God. We got legs. We got a voice. We're the ones thirsty. God supplies the need. He does. Isaiah 12:3 says, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. With joy. It's kind of like that. If you're thirsty. This bottle says smart water. If you're thirsty, you're going to go seeking, aren't you? Lost in the wilderness, you're going to be hunting for water. Lost in the woods, you're going to be hunting for a way, a stream, listening, hunting, trying to, praying for rain, trying to catch it. You're going to do whatever you can for this water. But what about your spiritual water? What about your life that is eternal? What about your soul that is searching, desperately dry at times? I've been there. My mouth is parched now. That's physical. When I was a younger, we lived in a home. Now that I've been talking about water, I'm going to need to take a drink because it is happening to me. Excuse me. We lived in a home with two balconies and a patio. And in that house, you could go out the back on the patio, on the balconies, had like three floors, and you could see the backyard. I don't know if it was a couple acres or what, but you could see the backyard. And in the middle of the backyard was this creek that ran right down the middle across the yard. I loved that creek. But when it would rain heavy, that creek would overflood and mud. It just looked like a muddy river going through the backyard down. And it was rapid. My mother would fast often when I was little and growing up. And there was a time when my mother fasted. And this was a different kind of fast than she had fasted before that I know of. And she often tells of it, not often, but she does tell of it. And she was about on her fourth day of fasting, and the fast that she was on this time was not just food. She also fasted water, which we can't live without water. So she's on her fourth day without water. And it had just come up and passed a terrible rainstorm. And she had walked out onto her balcony and looked into the backyard. And what she saw in the backyard was that muddy creek overflowed like a river, probably as wide as the chairs are from front to back. And she thought to herself, I could just run down there, fall down on my knees, and lap that up like a dog. And as soon as she thought that, the Lord spoke to her. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to her. And this is what he said. The Lord said, when you are thirsty to hear from me like that, I will answer. Wow. She felt it. And even now, if you were to ask her now, when you would look at her face and hear her story, you would see and know she was feeling this. She'd take her right back to the moment. And God spoke. And that's what he's saying to us now. If we would get that thirsty for him, if we would get that thirsty for him, he will answer. Does that mean he's going to give us things that are not in his will to give us? No. Don't go sideways. But he will answer, and he'll give us the very thing we need. Isaiah 41:17 says, when the poor, needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst, the Lord will answer them. The God of Israel will not forsake them. He says this, I will open the rivers on the bare heights and the fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water, and the dry land springs of water. And I will put in the wilderness a cedar and acacia and a myrtle and an olive, and I will set in the desert cypress and the plain and the pine together. And this is why he does it. This is his motivation, this next part. That they may see and know and consider and understand. See and know and consider and understand that the hand of the Lord, God Almighty, that the hand of the Lord has done this. The Holy One of Israel has created it. God did it. God did it. God did it. You know what? We commemorate events. We celebrate holidays and things. And we're coming up on Easter next week. And it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. And it's like, who would celebrate water, right? Who would celebrate water? But we could. I mean, you're thinking about being dry and thirsty, and you open that bottle of Coke or whatever it is you open, and it goes but really nothing satisfies that thirst like water, does it? The other things are secondary. But we could celebrate so much. And Easter is one of the biggest celebrations. The world doesn't understand, does it? Not the new stuff going on in America. You got the Easter bunny, you got the eggs, you got all of that. It's fun, spring is out, and the bunnies are hopping, and we see the little chickies, and it's a time of celebration. It is. A time of being thankful to God for what he has done for us. What has he done? Well, we're going to learn more about that next week, aren't we? He is the resurrection and the life. So there is this Jewish celebration called the Feast of the Booths. Now, it happens in the fall. I know we're in the spring. So I'm like, Lord, but he said, no, go ahead. So it happens in the fall. And it's called the Festival of the Booths, Sukkot. And this was a celebration of commemorating how God provided for them as he led them through the wilderness. And they were not only commemorating God's provision back then, how he led them through the wilderness, he was there also commemorating how God will provide for them in the future spiritual water through the Messiah. And they're celebrating this in this next verse that I'm bringing up here. And if you'll turn with me to in your Bibles to John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 37 through 38. John 7, 37 through 38. So this was a week-long festival that was happening here, and Jesus had come. But I want to tell you about the festival just a little bit before I read this verse to you. So the festival, week-long festival, they're celebrating God's provision. They're praying at the end of it for the rain to come for the next harvest. So they're celebrating the harvest. And each morning during the 7 days of the Feast of the Tabernacles, a procession of priests came from the temple down to the Pool of Siloam, whose water came from the Gihon spring, and I'm probably pronouncing those things wrong, and was the principal supply of water for Jerusalem, the principal supply of water. So you got this procession of priests going down to that pool of water, which was a spring. And they're dipping, and they would dip a pitcher in the water and get the water out. Now this is a spring of water, which means it's living water. It's not a stagnant pool of water. It's living water, meaning it's fresh water. So they would do that with a golden pitcher, draw the water from the pool, and they used that pool for ritual purification. The priest then took the pitcher of living water and returned to the temple. And as they arrived at the court of the priest, they circled the altar once. Then the priest poured out the water onto the altar of sacrifice. They're celebrating. They're celebrating, and they're also going to pray. They did this each morning for 6 days. And on the seventh day, called the great day of the feast, the same ritual took place, except the priest circled the altar 7 times instead of only once. The ritual symbolized Israel's request that the Lord would bless them with rain for the next harvest season. 7 times. And then this verse that we're fixing to look at is the very verse where Jesus steps on the scene here. Imagine it. They've circled the altar 7 times, and they pour the water on the altar, and they pray And then there's this silence. And Jesus stands up. Now, you know Jesus wasn't one for fame. He wasn't after fame. But he stood up that day. John 7:37 through 39 says this, "And on the last, the greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and in a loud voice he said, 'Let anyone who thirsts come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of water will flow from within them.'" By this he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, "whom those who believed in him would later receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified." That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. He announced who he is to the whole group. It's like in Jerusalem, and for this feast, this festival was like a radius of 20 miles, and they would set up booths, and the priest would go down, get the water, pour it on the altar every day. In the evening, they pour it on the altar. It's a great celebration. They're blowing trumpets. They're celebrating their God. And on that seventh day, they go around seven times and they pour it. And then they pray. And then there's this moment of silence. And Jesus stood up and proclaimed that he is that living water. He is the living water. You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they were out of Egypt and Moses is leading them? He's got the staff. They done went through the Red Sea, and that was a miracle. All these millions of people, million plus people going across there, and no one drowning at that moment, right? And then they don't get too far before they start murmuring. "We're thirsty." They're out in the wilderness. Water didn't come so easy. Now they're thirsty. But they're not just thirsty going around trying to help themselves and figure it out and make a plan. They're now murmuring and complaining against whoever's in charge. Who's in charge here? Who's in charge? They're at fault. And they're murmuring. And then that was like in chapter 15 of Numbers. And in 17, they're doing it again. They're doing it again. That time God said to Moses, "Take the rod and strike the rock." And water flowed out. And they did it again after that. In chapter 20, this time Moses was told to speak to the rock, but he struck it. So he disobeyed God and didn't show God as holy. He didn't do what God wanted him to do. You know, we can get away from what the Lord wants us to do, get in our emotions, get caught up in things. Desperate people do desperate things. And if we're desperate, hopefully we're desperate for God. But if we're desperate in our life, I felt pretty desperate when they were sticking the IVs in. When we're desperate, we need to call on God, or else we might make a mess of that. I don't know, have you been angry? Have you been sad? Disappointed? Any emotion you have, it's a good thing that we have those, but on the tilt, if it's too far one way, we get out of whack. We have to have God. You see, our bodies are built to have some balance, but without God, we can have none. We can try all we want on our own, and we may succeed for a short period of time, but it isn't going to be long enough. And it certainly is not going to be eternal. We need God. We can't attain it by ourselves. We must have the blood of Jesus Christ. We cannot be good enough. There's not enough good enough to be good enough in the presence of a holy God. We must have God. We must have God. We must have God. These people even threatened the life of Moses, but you know, he did strike the rock, and he was told to do that, and Jesus is that representation there. He went to the cross for us. He made a way, as you all know. John 4:1 through 30, if you will go with me there. This actually happened before this instance where Jesus stood and said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Not, look at this. This is only going to last me a little bit in the natural, and I'm going to need some more later. This isn't enough, right, for my life. This is not going to cut it eternally, right? It's not enough. So Jesus is, it says in chapter 4, now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize only his disciples, he left Judea and departed from again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Shinar. I said that wrong. Near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, listen to this, wearied. I mean, he was fully human and fully God. He knows what we suffer with. He was tired. He was weary from his journey. Was sitting beside the well. Can you see him? Sitting there beside the well. He's probably thirsty, right? Weary, tired. It was about the sixth hour, which means it was about noontime that day. And a woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Because this is not heard of, y'all. Men didn't speak to women. I mean, if you ever go to visit Israel, there's so many different kind of things we're not used to as we are here in America. You don't want to be holding hands with your husband, things like that. There's some things that happen. I think you can still get arrested for that in public. But this was a Samaritan woman, and you really don't speak to a Samaritan woman back in Jesus' day if you're a man. And he spoke to her. Probably flipped her out, right? Like, wow. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you what? Living water. Living water. Living water. The woman said to him, sir. Now she's looking at him with her natural eyes, right? She doesn't see this in the spirit at all. She doesn't understand this. She's not comprehending this. And she looks at him and she says, sir, how you have nothing to draw the water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Oh, he's perked her interest right there. He gave us, are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from him himself, as did his sons and his livestock. Jesus said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. Like I said, I'm thirsty right now. I drank from that just a minute ago, and I'm very thirsty right now. We drink from that water. It's going to sustain us for a minute or two, maybe a day, but we're going to need it again. She's just only seeing that. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me of this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. She still didn't get it, did she? Give me some of that water so I don't have to draw this water. But that's not exactly what Jesus was talking about. She didn't get it. He said, go to her. He went a little deeper with her here. Go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered him, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you're right in saying that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one you are with now is not your husband. Ouch. I'm sure she was like looking around at, what? So then she said, sir, I perceive you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming then when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's the key, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world, you can worship God in spirit and in truth. The Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that. The Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. She still didn't get it. She didn't see it. She didn't see him. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus didn't reveal himself until this. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. We know this story, don't we? And I don't think we sit and soak it up enough. I that speak to you am he. Do you have a need today? Are you thirsty for God and a move of his Holy Spirit in your life? I hear people saying, I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer to God. And you watch. And you look. And you wait. How do we get closer to God? We seek him. The Bible says that if we seek him, he'll be found of us. If we seek him with all of our heart, he's not someone who's hiding from us. He is there for us. So the woman, just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was speaking with this woman, but no one asked him why, really. Here's what he's saying. No one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? No one even talked to him about why he was talking to her. So the woman left her water jar. It was so important to her. She left it. That's why she came to the well. And she came to the well when no other woman was there. They come in the morning when it's cool, in the evening when it's cool, but not in the midday. She was so ashamed. She came to the well to get natural water, to soothe her needs in her life for water, natural water. And God gave her more. She went back home and she told them, come see a man who told me everything I had ever done. Is this not the Christ? And the disciples were oblivious to what was going on. And then here comes the town. Isn't that amazing? God is amazing. And as I close today, I want to read to you Psalms, Isaiah chapter 12, the entire chapter. You ready? Don't worry, it's only 6 verses. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw waters from the well of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make him known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Christian, would you come and play? God is great. He is holy. And we have a lot to sing and praise him for. I spent quite a bit of time in the last week before in the hospital, poked and prodded as needed, and some extra. It was not pleasant, not fun at all, as many of you know. But there was something happening with me, my body hurting, excruciating pain, weakened. Oh, so weak I couldn't hardly stand. So sick I couldn't hardly stand myself, let alone anybody around me. But then there was this wonderful peace in the middle of it. In the middle of all of it, there was God. Right beside me and within me. Just this flowing peace that just didn't stop at all. Even though the nurses tried a few times to get it right. It's not their fault. It was the needle, I'm sure. The Lord just filled me up with his Spirit. And you know what comes along with the Spirit of the Lord is the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, how God heals. Oh, how God loves. You look at the person beside you and you think, oh, how God loves them. Think of the person at work in the office next to you. Oh, how God loves them. Think of that boss. Oh, how God loves them. Think of those children and grandchildren. Oh, how God loves them. And they are thirsty. You may not see it, you may not know it, but they are thirsty. Just as we are. They just need a drink of water. They just need a word from God. They need you to open up that flow of the Holy Spirit. Stir up those gifts that are within you. Stir them up. You can only do that through his word and on your knees before God. And if you can't bow on your knees, bow in your heart. Stir him up. God is calling us to a closer relationship with him. We talk about this day and age that we live in being horrible, but there's nothing new under the sun. And we talk about, oh, this person has this going on and they're trying to get us to do this and that, but where are we? Where are we? You look up to the harvest and the harvest is ripe. I know it's the spring, but the harvest of souls is ripe. Right now. Right now.